Johnson from Bass Hole Studios in Hollywood, California.
Yo, what time is it?
You're listening to I'm a Bass Hole with Doug Bass. We've all been one.
He's an asshole.
So let's laugh about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
Hey everyone, welcome to I'm a Bass Hole. My name's Doug Bass. I'm your host, as always. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Bass Hole Show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast fix, wherever you're listening. Subscribe, hit the button, subscribe to the podcast. Follow our YouTube page at Doug Bass Comedy, or just go to YouTube and search for Bass Hole Podcast. That's where you can get the full video experience of the show. We have full episodes up there, so make sure you check all that stuff out. My personal comedian IG is at Doug Bass Comedy. In the studio, we have regular Bass Hole Rachel D at Rachel D Comedy. You can follow her there. My guest today is comedian Dan Green. You can follow him at Dan Green Comedy. Let's get to it. We are in the studio today. What's up, guys? This is Dan Green and Rachel D are here. How are you guys this morning?
Oh, God, it's so early.
I know. We are recording this in the morning for a change, which we've never done, actually. This is a first for the day. 10 a.m. Sunday recording.
I know. I'm used to you offering dinner. Now we got eggs.
Usually we're drinking during this.
Well, I mean, I'm still drinking.
It's coffee and water. I don't know. How you doing, Dan? Thanks for coming in.
Mate, I get to be the first morning podcast. Yes, is that how it works?
Yeah, this is the morning show. I don't even know if we should be revealing that because it's kind of a nighttime show. But
mate, just because I'm an Aussie and I'm 16 hours ahead doesn't mean you got to do it different for
me. We accommodated for the time change, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Well, welcome to I'm a Bass Hole. Rachel, how were you a Bass Hole this week? Were you one?
Oh, God. How was I? I just got back from spring break. So.
Oh, my God. You actually did spring break?
I did spring break.
See, when you say, like, I got back from spring break, I'm, like, picturing you, like, on a beach, like, drinking and
partying. I definitely did a lot of that. That's pretty much the only reason why I'm still teaching is because I get to do spring break.
Yeah. Dan is from Australia originally. Do they have spring break in Australia?
We have a thing in Australia called schoolies.
Schoolies.
Schoolies week is our spring break. It's basically, we don't really have a spring break where everybody just gets hammered like twice a year like you guys.
Right.
But when you graduate, it's called schoolies week and everybody ends up in one spot and like two or three kids die. And it works out all right.
I mean, there's always a death in the spring break.
It's just such a cute name for death and mayhem.
Schoolies.
We're doing schoolies.
Well, it's like spring break in regard to the fact that even though the current batch of high school students are graduating, because you can drink at 18 in Australia, which means our youngsters are even dumber than yours.
Oh,
which
really?
Is great.
That's a lot.
But then you get the 28-year-olds who go every weekend. I'm going to go to schoolies, man. That's where I'm going to party with the 18-year-olds. And you're like, oh, that's going to work great. That'll be a fantastic mix of people together.
Wow. Schoolies sounds like a bar that Americans would go to or something. Schoolies.
Yeah, schoolies. It just sounds so cute, right?
Sounds cute.
It doesn't sound like pedophiles.
Australian
pedophiles hitting up
the Daytona Beach's underage strip club. Schoolies.
I'm gonna get to Dan's asshole stuff later. But yeah, Rachel, were you an asshole on spring break?
Oh my God. Oh, was I an asshole on spring break? I mean, I watched a lot of assholes actually.
Sure,
it was interesting.
I think spring break is definitely asshole watching.
But yeah, I was in Lake Havasu though.
Oh man, I really want to go there. Is that like it's party city? No?
It is a party city, but like it's mostly like 50 and 60-year-olds who have their second home in Lake Havasu.
Perfect.
And then go behave like they're 16-year-olds.
They have the lake, they have boats.
Yeah,
The London Bridge is there?
The London Bridge is there. I learned that.
I knew that. That's crazy.
Every time I met anyone new in Lake Havasu, they're like, you know, we have the London Bridge. And I was like, I kind of don't give a fuck.
Is it falling down?
I know. It was like, unless it's falling down.
What is the story there? Why does Lake Havasu have the London Bridge?
It was a tourist trap. Like, they were just like, oh, we want to get people to come here.
Did they get rid of the London? Was the London Bridge really falling down? Is that what happened? And then they got rid of it? And they brought it to Lake Havasu?
No. No, that London Bridge is solid.
Yeah, yeah, it's a big, massive. I don't even know how they, I don't know. Like, brick by brick brought it over.
It's so odd, right?
It's the weirdest expense for a little town to be
to
cool.
To have some kind of tourist thing.
I don't know. It's just really Lake Havasu is a whole bunch of like retired millionaires spending their time doing a lot of coke. Like, that's basically what I observed.
Well, you'd better hope they never get hit by one of them tornadoes, takes that bridge out, and then that town's fucked. It's got nothing going for it after that.
Yeah. And half of the people who live there live on the island. And the only way you can get off of that island,
I feel like that's where they, that's where they filmed that Piranha movie, I think, right? I think like that horror movie.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, don't know. All right, lots of assholes in Lake Havasu.
I was definitely an asshole. I was supposed to be visiting my parents for most of it, and I kept coming up with reasons why I couldn't be there.
You're like, I'm on a boat.
Sorry.
All right, well, that's interesting. All right. So, Dan, you also have a podcast called The Verbal Gym.
Yes, correct? Mate.
Correct. How long have you been doing your podcast?
We're up to coming on 2 years now, 25 episodes, yeah.
Nice. That's great. Yeah. Are you loving doing it?
Yeah. I think that we put something like that together basically because we wanted to impart to people who are about to come to LA to try and chase that stand-up dream how much work you need to put in. And that's specifically why I've grabbed people like Rachel who work their ass off in this business and what it takes to go through that. Because otherwise you're sitting in Wisconsin going, oh, fuck it. I'll just come out and do a TikTok and I'll get on stage.
Right.
And I love that.
That might work, but that's also what I live for. That's actually what gets me rock hard is watching a TikTok comic bomb an opportunity. I mean, a really good opportunity, not like an open mic, but actually get booked somewhere and go, you know what, I've made it.
Well,
like,
because they immediately get booked because they have like, 500,000 followers or whatever. And it's like, oh, all right.
Dude, it's like taking a spacewalk without a helmet.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is going to end badly. This is awesome. And I get to watch it. It's like watching a car crash.
Yeah, I love that. I didn't know that was the reason why you started the podcast. I love that it's basically to deter people from coming to LA to do comedy.
Watch this like, first, and then make a decision. Yeah,
No, it's even better. It's just like, just don't. It's too fucking hard. Like, don't even stay in Wisconsin.
Yeah, why not? What part of Australia are you from, actually?
Mate, I'm from northern New South Wales, which sounds like it's in a different country, but it's actually basically where Chris Hemsworth has his big fucking house on the East Coast. If you go in about 4 hours, you get to my house.
Okay.
Which is not on the coast and not in a very nice place, but it's in a nice country area. It's on top of a mountain range.
That sounds awesome. I haven't been to Australia yet.
Yeah, I grew up in a town with 23 people in it.
Wow. So everyone knew each other. Everyone.
Yeah, everyone did. Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
Did you have to go to a different town for school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my mum drove the bus. Yeah. That was the hilarious. Dude, 23 people, one street, and I lived at number 22 Middle Street, and we were the first house on the block.
Wow. That's,
I think it was just my dad just liked 22. He's like, you know what? This house is going to be number 22 on this street.
22. Yeah, there you go. There you go. How long have you been in the States here?
Coming on 22 years.
22 years. Wow. All right. Cool. Yeah. Very cool. I didn't realize that you were here that long.
Yeah. Well, I spent 5 years in the Middle East and parked my car here, but apart from that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm guessing you're loving it because you've been here this long.
Mate, I love it's great. It's a land of opportunity, man. That's why I love America, man. You can do anything you want out here and you can be a TikTok dickhead comic as well. I mean, that's how it comes down to.
Are you on TikTok?
I have a very, very non-active. I'm on there just so the Chinese can hack my phone. That's all I'm on there for.
This, I feel it the same way. I'm on there, but it's like I've turned the podcast channel into my TikTok. So it's like that's how I'm on there.
Well, every once in a while, I just shoot like a selfie naked video just so the Chinese censor who's looking through my phone just never looks in this phone ever again. So.
Right. They block your account from
viewing it. We got all we need from Dan Green. We don't need any more.
Yeah. Rachel, are you on TikTok? You're on TikTok, right?
Yeah. I do the TikTok. I don't understand it, but I mean.
Do you create actual videos in the app?
That's probably the problem.
That's what it's built for, right? Oh. Like you're supposed to create like content within there.
Yeah.
I mean, I just literally like repost like clips from the show on there or whatever, you know.
So yeah.
10 a.m. on a Sunday, I'm learning, Doug. I'm learning. That's why I'm here.
Because I have friends that are like, yeah, they're creating, like, you know, like you can edit and add the effect and, like, you know, whatever. It's like,
I just,
it's kind of like Vine meets, yeah, YouTube meets TikTok, whatever it is. I don't know.
I like the most views the I've gotten that. On anything is like 1,000. So, I don't understand the TikTok.
Usually, like, something stupid you do would get more views than something you've actually put thought into. Mm. Is what I've realized, even on YouTube. I feel like,
yeah, that's, just soul crushing experience.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I've even on YouTube, like, I've done, like, you know, like, web series and all this shit, like, scripted shit, and it's like, oh, like, 5,000 views. It's like, okay, thanks. And then, like, I dress up as some dumb character and do something stupid. It's like, million views. It's like, oh, all right, this is what people want to watch. All right, I get it. They think this person's real, and they want to make fun of them. Okay. All right. Well, what else is going on? Are you still working at the Laugh Factory?
Yeah, I am, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where, that's where I met you.
Yeah, I worked the front door of the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, how's that going? Are you loving it?
I do, actually. It's an interesting environment. I get to see the business side of comedy and a network above my pay grade, which is fantastic. And luckily, my comedy now is catching up to my networking, which is nice. Yeah.
Are you on shows there? Sorry, what? Oh, the TV.
There we go. We blacked out for a second.
You know why? Because I'm fucking. I don't have my camera operator here today, so I pressed the wrong camera button. This is the hard part. Is like I'm doing all this shit at once, so I'm like, oh yeah.
No, unlike the improv in the store and some other clubs, stage time is not encouraged by staff at the Laugh.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. Like I've noticed that through some of your old colleagues and stuff like that have worked there. Like, yeah, they don't really give you an opportunity, right?
No, I think the manager would much rather me concentrate on work while I'm there. But you know what? I lied to get the job. When I got the job, I told them I wasn't a comic, and for 6 months I kept it a secret and then was like, haha.
Yeah, I'm a comic, yeah. That's what people are doing now, like improv. They're like, oh, we're not hiring comedians anymore. And they're like,
it's lies.
Yeah, yeah.
Some 5'2" dude who weighs like a jockey's whip rocks up and goes, yeah, I'm a bouncer.
Yeah, yeah. Like, exactly, no, yeah.
Dude, you're a comic.
Yeah.
Improv isn't hiring comics now either?
That's what I heard. Well, they hired a bunch of new people and apparently like, oh, we're not hiring comedians anymore. I don't know. Huh. But yeah, I mean, they don't want, because it's like,
I kind of get it.
It's a pain in the ass. Like, you
we're
know,
really not good
wise.
At working.
No,
so.
Like, it's like everyone wants off, like, you know, Friday for a show or something, you know, and it's like everyone's unreliable, you know, it's like, but they, you know, they show up and they do their thing, you know, so it's like, I get it. As a manager of a business, it's a fucking nightmare scheduling that shit with comics. I can't even imagine, like, trying to do that.
Well, I was lucky. I'd been a bouncer for 17 years before I turned up at the Laugh Factory. So they're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Right. Now, what kind of bouncing jobs did you do? Mostly bars,
douchebag,
clubs?
Douchebag, high-end nightclubs, mate. Oh, yeah, asshole fucking.
Yeah.
Let's
get into your asshole. I feel like you have a couple asshole stories. Usually people come on here and they have like one, or if that. So
it all comes down to people think you got to graduate to being an asshole. You can't be an asshole before you turn 30. You're just a prick before then. You've got to graduate and get some age on it and some salt on it, and then you can be a true asshole.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, I think, because like if you're, you know, a young kid, yeah, you're doing asshole things, but if you're a true asshole adult-wise,
then it kicks in. Then you enjoy it.
Right.
You start to really get your teeth into it, yeah. But like I said, I worked the door of douchey nightclubs. For 7 years at one club, a couple of clubs in particular, I stood in front of a full nightclub with a radio earpiece in connected to no radio. If you can imagine how that works, it's like good old Doug turns up with his buddies to the front door and he's like, yeah, I want to come in. I'm like, you know what, man? Let me just check with upstairs. Let me check with upstairs. Yep. No, he's good. He's a good person. They look like great people. Like, listen, I know they don't have any chicks with them, but you know what? I vouch. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, boss. I'll tell them. Look, man, I tried, man. I couldn't get you in there. Like, I did that for 7 years, man. People thought I was the nicest door guy in the world, just a complete prick who was just avoiding confrontation.
That's a good, that's a good trick, I would say. Yeah, that's
dude,
like,
you can do anything with an earpiece, and you can walk into anything.
Right. I'm going to start going to bars with earpiece. With I'm going to start doing that. Yeah. Like, you know what? I would love to go out with you. But wait, let me check in with upstairs.
Let me make a call.
You better watch out. It might backfire. They might walk up to you and go, I'll have 10 chicken wings. Thanks.
I can't imagine. You know, I mean, because I worked the door at improv as well. So like that's a taste of, I mean, it's not bouncing at all, but it's like, you know, it's a taste of like what that world is a little bit.
Well, it gets combative. And that's the thing. I mean, you basically one or two of those places in particular, I was making a ton of money, but you're having six conversations at once. And there's no way to have six conversations at once be polite at the same time. You're just like, nope. This isn't even a fucking conversation. You're next.
Okay, yeah, you pick and choose what's important at the moment. Oh, yeah.
And I was blunt as well.
Yeah.
I was completely blunt about why people weren't fucking getting into places either.
Well, it's like, you're a big guy. You got the Australian dialect there. You know, it's like who the hell's going to want to mess with you, I would say. You know?
Oh, don't worry. I've been stabbed a few times. Don't worry.
You've been stabbed?
I've been stabbed four times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've learned where to
pick your battles. And this is through work-related things or just like a fight? A knife fight?
Three times professionally, one time recreationally.
All right. Was that in Australia? Or was that here? There's definitely more violence in America, I'm guessing. Just, you know, having the knife fight in Australia.
Yeah, don't worry. I earned the recreational one in America. I was like, you know what? Be able to stab me too. I was a bit of a dick that night.
I want to know what happened.
What provokes someone to stab
recreationally?
You?
I made the mistake of tipping over a plate of drugs at a party.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
That'll get you stabbed.
We talking like a thing of cocaine? And
we're probably talking that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. I was clumsy around that.
Were you drunk and knocking them
hammered.
Over? Hammered and knocking over a plate of drugs.
Knocked over a plate of drugs, and that'll get you stabbed and thrown through a window.
Shit.
Wow, who threw you through a window? That's impressive.
Pushed.
Okay.
Pushed through a window. All right.
I want to meet the man who threw Dan
is
Green
like, yeah, we're
a window.
Picturing someone picking you up and throwing you.
The Rock was at the party. Like,
still here, though. Didn't work.
Man, so like, is everyone doing the drugs and you just like accidentally knock it over? Like, and they're in the middle of like, what the fuck? Like,
Yeah, I think it was that point when you get to the point of the party around 4 or 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. in the morning, and the only thing left is drugs. You've drunk all the liquor,
right?
And
everything's gone. This is
these are the kind of things. This is how you find yourself at someone's house you hate at 10 o'clock in the morning playing cards with people because all that's left is drugs.
Right. At that point, it's like it's time to go home, but it's like obviously
you're like I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Oh, more drugs. Okay,
but
cool.
But I love this guy with the plate of drugs. Yeah. So someone just pulls out a knife and stabs you after you.
Yeah, they were unhappy.
Yeah.
They were unhappy with that. And then, the window kind of was the coup d'etat on top of that.
Because this is a lot of money you just like threw away, I'm guessing.
At 4 a.m., it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m., at 4 a.m., it's the last. That's the thing. So, yeah.
Now, how bad is the stab wound? Do you go to the hospital? What happens? Oh, my God. All right. Right
there.
Oh, right
the
arm.
Okay.
Arm.
Yeah. All right.
A lot of blood, I'm guessing.
A little bit of that one, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then this is the recreational stab.
That's recreational. Rest and roll professional.
Now these are on the job stabs, like at a club or something.
Yeah. Usually how bouncers get stabbed at clubs is when you've got your hands full.
Uh huh.
When you've got your hands full and you've either got one person in each hand, or you're carrying both, or you've got someone tied up in both. That's usually like if you've got to throw out a guy with four buddies.
Right.
And I've got to grab the one guy, and I'm only working by myself. Then I'm going to eat some punches. That's the thing. I mean, whenever I used to hire guys to work clubs, I'm like, they go, oh, I'm a kung fu fucking megastar, all this. I said, can you take a punch? Oh, I never get hit. That wasn't the question I asked. I asked, can you take a punch? I said, I can't fight for shit, but I got a fucking chin like a glob of concrete. I know how many punches I can take.
Right.
And you're going to eat a few on the way to the door because his buddies are going to be smashing the shit out of you while you're holding on to the really violent one and you're dragging him out.
Oh,
and
then the other guy just has a knife.
Well, yeah, some of them are smart, some of them are dicks, and some of them have a slash at you while you're on the way to the door. So
when they stab you at the club, where are they stabbing you this
arms.
Time?
It's always arms.
Always arms.
It's always arms. Shoulder. I got one on the shoulder.
So they're trying. They're really not trying to kill you, obviously.
No, no one's trying.
They're just like I don't know the reason.
They're trying to get you to drop their buddy.
Drop their buddy with a puncture wound to the arm.
Now what they don't realize is I'm that much of a prick that if you can punch me in the head, I will take your buddy's head and I'll smash it into a door frame on the way. And and what you end up with is this bizarre procession of the bloke getting dragged out, yelling at his friends, going, stop hitting him, because every time you hit him, I get hit as well. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing this until they stop hitting me.
Do you ever like hit them with him? Like, you know, just like take the dude and just use him as like
hit a guy with a guy.
Headbutt each guy, like, you know,
I wish I was like big like that I could do that.
I'd love the opportunity to hit a guy with a guy. But I think that's one of the things I missed out on in 20 years of doing doors is I never hit a guy with a guy.
Did you ever to throw anybody out of the Laugh Factory?
I've done it 3 or 4 times.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
And you got any good ones for that?
I got a couple of good ones. I've been hit with a I've had two people try and hit me with a chair at the Laugh Factory.
Right.
Like pick up a chair?
Pick up a stool and try to hit me with it.
That's how much they wanted to stay at the show that they ruined?
One guy was my first day at the Laugh Factory. It was 3 years ago.
First day. Wow.
It was a guy from Texas and we put him out. And then he decided to protest being thrown out of the club and sat in the lobby like an Indian in the middle of the room. I said, I'm not leaving. And I said, cool. And I just sat there and just grabbed a Coke and just sat there and just said, well, we can just sit here and talk then. I said, I'm not going to drag you out by your ears. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to do that. There's a reason I haven't been sued in 20
especially,
years.
Yeah, especially now today more than ever. It's like you really don't want to like, you know, touch these people unless you absolutely have
to. Well, you assume that after 4 seconds you're being recorded these days.
Right, right, exactly.
People were a lot nicer back in the day where you just get slapped.
Right.
Or stabbed.
Or stabbed, you know. But like now there's like a lawsuit or whatever, you know. It's like all this shit like you got to potentially deal with in the back end of it almost.
And this guy was pretty good until his missus turned up. And then I was like, as soon as his girlfriend walked around the corner, I was like, oh, shit, this is about to change. And it did. He bounced up and was like, you know what? And he got all full of everything. Yeah. And I was like, oh, good. You know, the only thing left in the chair, well, there's a reason that bar stools in Texas where I used to work are heavy.
Yeah.
So you can't get hit with them.
Right.
The stools at the Laugh Factory are like the ones you'd see in old cowboy movies back in the day.
They're like breakaway props. Yeah. Almost, like made out of like balsa wood or whatever.
The guy just picks it up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat this.
Right.
And took a swing. I think he was actually aiming for the little shadow boxes full of memorabilia originally. Oh, and then he saw me and was like, I'm going to have a crack at you instead.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like, weird. The comedy clubs, they get these people that, they're drunk, but they don't want to leave. You know, they want to like, you know, heckle or whatever. And they always think they're right. And it's very interesting. Especially like I was bartending, like my first bartending shift at the Improv, like these two girls would not leave. They wanted like more drinks and they just sat there until like two in the morning. Like then, like, you know, like no one wanted to put their hands on them. They get out of here, you know, and they just, they wouldn't leave. And they were just like, nah, we're right. And it was a disaster.
I'll just bore them you to death at that point. Yeah. At that point, people just want an argument and I'll just be like, nope, I'm going to be the Sphinx.
Right.
I'm just going to sit there and be the most unentertaining argument you've ever been in. But the juice for someone like me in that regard is it costs you probably $100 to get drunk, but you're going to sober up arguing with me and you basically just set $100 on fire.
Right.
And that's the pleasure I get. That's the asshole moment I get at that point, watching you just destroy what buzz you had.
Right. And you can't get anymore.
You can't get anymore at this point. Oh, the bars are shut now? Oh, man, you're just having a shit night and you're just in a horrible mood.
And then you got to wait for your car or your walk home.
I'm about to drink till dawn.
Right.
Because industry rules are different.
Right.
And you cop it. But yeah.
Yeah, bars definitely have a lot of assholes like lurking around, and as a bouncer, dealing with that is insane at times. I would think it's just
it was wild before phones. I bounced before cell phones.
And yeah, with the camera, everyone's got a camera now.
No cameras, dude. It was fucking on.
Yeah. Oh
back
yeah.
In those days.
Well, everything. Like you can get away with so much shit. Like just like I didn't say that. I didn't do this.
It went both ways too. It was two-way traffic. You got a lot more fights because people didn't care either. And yeah, that was the ice on your knuckles in the buckets after work kind of things.
Right. Right. Oh man, Rachel, have you ever worked in a bar?
I worked. The last bar I worked at was Pink Taco.
Oh, Pink Taco.
Went up on Sunset. Okay. Yeah, And that was just like an asshole magnet.
Well, Sunset Strip.
Oh my god!
Laugh Factory, Sunset Strip, Pink Taco. So Sunset Strip, you definitely get your crew of assholes waltzing in.
The Pink Taco. I mean, just the name alone is just like just a magnet for like dick.
I think what sets people off at comedy clubs and. With the two drink minimum is what gets people going. And then they see on the menu Long Island iced tea and they're like, fuck it, I'm getting as much alcohol as I can. Yeah. So I'm going to drink two Long Islands in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to, and most people are just like, done. Over. You know, my girlfriend can't drink hers. Well, now I'm drinking three. Right. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that drink, you know, I just recently remembered that drink existed. Like, because like every place I would go to, no one would ever order that, you know. And now someone ordered it last night for me, and I was like, oh.
Fucking wait, what do? You just grab, like, I think you would just grab the swill bucket and just pour it into empty the remnants of all the drinks.
A lot of
like,
clubs
just,
now.
I feel like that's what a Long Island iced tea is.
There's a bottle that just says Long Island iced tea, which is mixed with everything, and you just pour that with some Coke. But like, yeah, like the true way is to grab each bottle of, you know.
Oh, I was just, you know, like the bucket. Yeah, the where bucket. You dump the remnants.
That's just
all
called
the
bar mat shot special. Yeah. Like, you know.
We used to have a thing in Australia called the White Lightning. And the White Lightning was basically our version of the Long Island iced tea because we didn't really have Long Islands in Australia. But the White Lightning was a special occasion drink where they just grabbed a schooner glass of beer, they put six ice cubes in it, and they grabbed every white spirit on top of the bar, just put it all in there, and a little bit of Coke for color on top. Yep. And every time you took a sip out, you got to take out an ice cube. And when you were left with no ice cubes, you had to shotgun the rest.
Oh, gross.
Oh,
absolutely insane.
Was there a time that you would order Long Island iced teas? Like in college, like as a kid, you know, whatever. I don't know. Was there ever a phase where like, that's going to be my drink going out tonight? Or
No.
But you've had one, though.
I don't think I've even had one.
Really?
I really don't. I mean, because I've in my mind, it's always been the swill bucket. I've always imagined like that's what bartenders do.
I think I ordered that drink like twice when I first started drinking because I was like, oh, I hear it's the strongest drink or whatever, you know, and I like tried it and I was like, yeah, it's all right.
What does it taste like?
Does it
taste like iced tea?
No. I don't even remember. I don't think it's
that's what happens when you drink a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah,
you just don't even remember.
It's been so long since I've had one. I think I'm gonna have to try it. Maybe next week I'll try it. Like, I'll make one and just be like,
it's such a horrendous thing. It's like I was talking to someone the other day and I said the booze that you first drank when you were a young fella. I mean, I don't know what time you started drinking, you can remember.
I think I was born an alcoholic.
I ruined vodka for life for me because I drank it so badly when I was 15.
Yeah.
And I can't touch vodka now because of what I did to myself when I was 15. I used to drink it with Coke and it was stupid and it was horrible.
Oh, wow.
Vodka and Coke, that's small vodka town. Coke. That's some small town shit right there.
Yeah.
Vodka and Coke, you don't know what to do. You're like, I'll just put Coke in it. That'll work.
Just put something in it. Yeah.
I can't, now I can't drink vodka anymore. It gives me, I really can't handle it. Yeah. I can handle everything else.
You drink though still, right? Yeah.
I quit getting drunk.
Yeah.
I got drunk for about 15 years. I drank a lot when I was running bars and working bars because you just do. I think I was putting away about two bottles of whiskey a week.
Yeah.
Just didn't even realize it. And I quit when I took up comedy. I quit getting drunk.
Yeah.
Now I still like a drink. I'm one of those few people that likes the taste of bourbon.
Right. Yeah. You like a cocktail. You like, you know, a drink. You know,
I'm a neat guy. I like it neat. I like a little burn on me.
Whiskey neat or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Bourbon makes everything taste
better.
But
now it's under control. I'm the same, yeah. Same, like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'll get drunk every now and then.
I was going to say.
Every now and then.
But you're like, I only have one. I was like, that's some bullshit right there.
No, I don't know if I get, like, I don't get wasted anymore.
After hours used to kill me.
After hours.
That was the thing that was what made working in bars special was what you can do between 2 and 6 a.m. that no one else gets invited to.
Right.
That being in an empty bar and just shooting the shit with with people you work with and just unloading the work day or the week.
Absolutely, yeah.
Drinks are the best drinks.
What are the bars in Australia? Are they open late? Or like
they change a lot. I hadn't been home in 8 years. I went home just recently.
Okay, yeah.
We have lockout laws now where they, at 1 a.m., you're not allowed in anywhere.
1 a.m. is done. That's
one,
it.
The bar is open till 3, but no one knew was allowed to walk into it.
Okay.
After 1
so if you were there at like 12:30, you can drink you can there till 3 a.m. or whatever.
You can stay, but if you leave for a second, you're not coming back in.
That's not bad. I like that kind of idea. They should do that here probably, you know, because I mean, I don't think, here's the thing. Like, there's definitely been times, like, I know LA is an early city, whatever, you know, I think they have passed a law like in West Hollywood proper that the bars are open later now. Or some bars, like a club or whatever, could do like 3 a.m. or something. But it's very, you know, pick and choose kind of thing. But yeah, there's times where I've been in a bar. It hasn't been often, but like it is 1:30 and I'm like, oh, man, they want everyone out by 1:30 now. You know, it's like last call is 1:30, you know, and they want you out of there before 2, way, way before 2. But yeah, if they let everyone stay there till 2:30 or 3, you know, you're there.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool, I think, you know. Even if you're not drinking, even if you're like sobering up or what, I don't know, whatever, just hanging out.
Now, the town I went to high school in, they banned shots in that town. Mm.
No shots.
It's only 8,000 people in the town.
Yeah.
And they banned shots. Wow. You can't buy a shot of alcohol. You can buy a mixed drink. Mm-hmm. But you can't buy a shot of bourbon or a shot of Jaeger. Jaeger was the one that tore the wheels off this town. Jaeger fucked it up.
Jaeger fucks up.
But you got to remember,
Jaeger fucks up everything.
This is an 8,000 person town that has 16 pubs.
16 pubs.
That's a lot of pubs for 8,000 people. They do well.
Yeah.
And yeah, they just had to say, listen, we're shutting this shot shit down. No way.
No shots.
No more shots.
Because that's the thing people do at like last call. It's like, oh, we're going to, you know, grab a shot.
Well,
grab
I
a
think
shot.
That, yeah, yeah. I mean, why else? I mean, would any, do you do shots? It's
right.
To get fucked
to
up.
To get fucked
right?
up.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean.
My favorite is always like, I've been like, you know, last call. And I'm like, okay, yeah, give me another, you know, margarita or whatever, you know. And then like, they literally like, all right, here you go. And they put it down. And then they're like, all right, everyone out.
Yeah.
And it's like. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm literally like, everyone's got to leave. Drinks down, you know. And it's like, dude, I just paid $20 for this. Like, I can't even. And like, they're encouraging you to chug it. Like, it's like, yeah, we'll give to you, but you better chug that fucking margarita. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here.
I ran illegal after hours in Houston once. And
illegal what? Wait,
illegal after hours in
Houston. Oh, okay.
And we're sitting there, and we're serving, and you always get shut down eventually doing those things. You start out by selling little water bottles of vodka for $20 or $40 of vodka. And then you're like, you know what? We're selling so many of these. Let's just put a carafe on the tables and we'll do that and we'll put vodka in that. No one will notice.
Right.
And then fucking 2 months later, you're like, fuck it. Let's just put bottles of Goose on the table at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when the cops turn up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're in the water bottle phase of our selling liquor. And I'm standing in front of this bar and these two cops turn up in their car and they pull up and they go, damn, what are you still doing here? You guys are still open? It's 3:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, we're still open. He goes, what? Huh? And I said, oh, let me explain it to you, officer. I said, it's an anti-drink driving initiative we started because we realized so many people were leaving at 2 o'clock in the morning hammered.
Right.
We just thought we'll leave the club open for an extra 2 hours. Don't serve any alcohol and just let them dance off the liquor so it gives you guys less work to do when they come out on the road.
I mean,
he looked at me and was like, and I could hear the cogs turning over in his head. He's like, is this fucking guy fucking with me? And I'm like, no. He goes, I said, you can come in and have a look if you like, officer. Hoping he wouldn't say yes. And he's like, no, I trust you, Dan. And as they drove off, two guys come out the front door and they go, can I have 2 bottles of vodka? And I'm selling them out of the gutter above my head.
Right, right.
I can reach up and grab.
Well, that's what doesn't make sense. Like, that's not a bad idea. Like, you know, all right, dancing from 2 to 5 or whatever. I don't know.
I think that that's why the cop believed him. Because, like, that's a legit, beautiful idea. That's not the fuck what he was doing,
it would be like, you know, people do want to stay out. But, like, the problem with, I think, you know, especially, like, Americans, it's like they're going to want that liquor, I think, especially.
It's called
like,
a rave, and that's why you take ecstasy.
Right. You know, you pack something in your pocket for those hours where you can't get the booze or whatever.
By the way, if you're ever at an after hours and you don't think they serve alcohol, look for the guy with the backpack.
Right,
that's
right.
The guy.
Someone's
with all
got
the
something,
booze.
Or you carry a flask or a rum runner or something.
Always,
you know?
it's like selling drugs. There's always a runner, and that's the guy with the backpack. You pay a guy over here, and you go over and see that guy over there, and he gives you a bottle of vodka out of the backpack. That's
well, there's
how
like
that works.
Yeah, there's like places right here on 3rd Street that's like, you know, they're open till like 3:30, but yeah, they don't serve booze. So like people are out there smoking hookah, and you know, there's a DJ and whatever, and people are just hanging out. Eating, you know,
that's like taquerias in Houston. There's always a red cup somewhere.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know anything about the after hours scene in LA here?
No, thank God. When I got here, it's funny. Once I quit the booze industry, I realized I had to start paying for drinks, and I hadn't paid for a drink in about 14 years. And shit got expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah. Drinks are expensive. Right?
I was like, holy!
I know.
Fuck.
I got a tequila soda last night, and after tip, it was $20.
Where was that?
La Poubelle on Franklin. I was like, what the fuck?
$20 for a margarita, you said?
No, it was a tequila soda. Just a tequila soda. I was like, I left. I was like, I'm going back to the bar where I know the bartender.
Well, I'm literally going to the same bars now where I'm like, okay, I can get free drinks here cheap drinks. Or
that's the way you survive
in
LA.
Person.
You
know,
you got to know the bartenders.
Yeah, I just flat out gave up getting hammered. And I was like, you know what?
It's too expensive.
But you've got to have a beer to be social. But apart from that,
Yeah, exactly. Or like, something in your hand to like not.
Yeah,
feel
no,
awkward.
I will legit just get a soda water with lime, and it looks like I'm.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I'll do soda and bitters, which looks like some kind of cocktail.
Yeah, I'll do that. Because it's too expensive.
I'll do that at an expensive place. Sure.
But yeah, I realized I had the drinking habits of a millionaire when I was like, oh, this can't continue, and I end up in my car for 10 months during the pandemic, and you don't want to be a drunk in your car. Once you're living in your car,
in your car for 10 months during pandemic?
Yeah.
How was that for you?
It was interesting. I did comedy out of my car.
All right.
That kept me going. I made 12 grand doing comedy
shows
out of my car.
How long have you been living in LA? You have Texas ties, right? Like
I was in Texas for 17 years.
17 years. So the bulk of your time was in Houston? Is that what it was? Yeah. How did you like Houston as far as doing comedy?
People in Houston are fantastic. I didn't do comedy until I moved to LA.
Okay.
I didn't need a heart attack. In Houston, after doing four jobs and self-diagnosed what I thought was a heart attack in a strip center parking lot at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, actually.
Jeez.
And turns out it wasn't a heart attack. It was just a lot of stress.
Yeah. And, panic attack?
But my blood pressure was around about 230, 220. It was solid. I was like, it was about to explode.
Yeah,
but they
said,
you need to figure out what you're doing and quit two or three of these jobs.
Right.
And I had a friend out here in LA who was doing comedy at the time, and I was like, I'm funnier than you. And then I looked at him and I was like, I can come out here and do this. Like, can I come out here and do this? And he said, yeah, come out. So, I sold everything. And I'm the only comic, I think, in LA who sold his handguns to pay for gas to come and be a comic.
trade in your Texas handguns.
Trade in my Texas
for more
guns.
Of two California gun free area. Yeah,
two handguns and a shotgun paid for my first month in LA.
All right,
and I was hooked straight away, man. As soon as I got on stage and started doing stand up, I was like, this is what I should be doing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you lived in your car for 10 months.
Yeah,
when you moved here,
my housing fell apart 4 weeks before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow,
good timing.
Yeah.
And I was in the Laugh Factory parking lot, and thinking this pandemic thing will only go for a month.
Right.
And I was like, oh no. And then by about month two, I realized I'm too broke to move back to Texas. It's a $500 drive to get back there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck it. All right, well, we're staying here, and started doing. Every 2 weeks I would do a show out of my car, a live stream, and people were following that in Houston, and it worked out really well.
You live stream from your car, you did the podcast kind of?
Well, I would do is try and write 24 premises every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then just basically, the beautiful thing about a car is you can be set up like this, but I basically had all the premises written out on a piece of cardboard right there.
Right.
And giving two camera and just exploding them organically as I went. And did that for 20 minutes straight. So it's almost like a 20-minute suggestion mic, so to speak, or something like that, where I'm just bang, 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 the topics out. Now, of that material, of that 20 minutes, 5 minutes of it might be usable for the stage. But, I mean, thankfully it was entertaining enough. And people
that's a great, work ethic. And, like, it always fascinates me, people that have lived in their car that are pursuing, comedy, acting, their dreams, whatever. Because it's got to be such a challenge to just live, I would imagine.
Dude, I was wearing a suit in my car.
Yeah, so you get the job at the Laugh Factory when you first move here?
Yeah, but 3 days after I came to LA, I drank my way into that job with Jay Davis.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Jay Davis and me were drinking. I got introduced to him by a friend, and we were drinking at the Naughty Pig, and I was telling him more stories about the bouncing days, and they were up for a change at the Laugh Factory, and he just said, whatever you do, don't tell them you're a comic, and come get the job.
That's awesome. So you get the job, and then you're living in your car out of the parking lot there.
Yeah.
And did they know this? Did they catch on to it?
The first month I was trying to kind of do it low key, but also I was sleeping on a CPAP machine.
For snoring and stuff,
which is difficult to do in a car.
How do you do that in a car?
Well, you leave the engine running.
Oh my god! And you have it plugged into
the car, and you leave the engine running all night.
Jesus.
And so that made it even more tricky. So wearing a suit and tie, so you basically got to shower at the gym, that's how you roll.
Right.
Roll there on a CPAP machine. Thankfully, after about the third month, someone ran me a line out to the car, and I didn't have to use gasoline anymore.
Okay. And, so they give you a power supply for the CPAP machine.
Yeah, which worked out real well.
Right. But, you're not wasting gas.
But I'm still 6'3" and 405
What
pounds.
Kind of car are we talking about?
We're talking a Ford Explorer, mate. The Ford Explorer Studios, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, at least it wasn't like a civic sport or something. Yeah.
Smart car.
Didn't buy it with that intent. Didn't buy it with that intent. Funny thing is, the poor old Ford Explorer got repoed at an open mic. I watched it get towed away while I was on stage. I'm going, look at that guy's piece of shit Ford Explorer.
And you're like, wait a minute, that's my fucking house and car.
That was my car.
So wait, it gets repoed while you're still living.
Well,
in
I wasn't living. No,
okay, all right.
I got lucky. The best thing about living in that, my plan all along, living in that parking lot, Life Factory owns an apartment building.
That's right. A couple comics I know live over there.
Yeah. And I'd seen that maybe someone might be moving out in 2 months, and I was like, oh yeah, if I sit here and look pathetic for long enough, I might get a shot at this.
Yeah.
And that person didn't move, and I was like, now I'm fucked. And I was too poor to move anywhere. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to have to muscle it out. And I called my parents back in Australia. And I had actually had a plane ticket home at that point.
Really?
And my dad was like, if you come home, you might get stuck here. The laws are changing in Australia. And they did change. And I lost my green card. I lost everything. If I stayed in Australia, I'd be there right now. This wouldn't be happening.
Right.
And he said, stay. And I'm like, oh, I hadn't seen my dad in forever. And it was a big deal. And I was like, okay. He says, I'm proud of what you're doing right now. Which had a lot to do with him not being proud of the shit I'd done previously. And I'm like, okay, well, cool.
This is better.
This is better.
You're not getting
stabbed as often.
Yeah. You know how much of an asshole you were when your parents are proud the fact that you're going to become an open mic comic. And you're like, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, all right. And 10 months later, someone finally moved out. Harry Basil's son moved out, who does the Laugh Factory in Vegas.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I got his old apartment.
All right.
And, yeah, I still had to compete with three or four other comics who wanted it. And
so it's hard to get those apartments, I'm imagining, because it's like...
It's like Yellowstone, man. I actually got a brand of the Laugh Factory over here somewhere. I've been branded out in this thing.
They own you.
They own me a little bit, yeah. Yeah, so... but yeah, man, I mean, yeah, it was worth it in the end, and it was one of the happiest days of my life finally getting that place when I got it.
That's awesome, man. Congrats. Yeah,
I couldn't ask for a better location.
You could walk to work. It's right there, right?
You can walk to the store. You can walk to the...
Everywhere. The whole strip, yeah.
Now I'm a little bit lighter. I can walk to the Improv.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
can get to Pink Taco really.
Right, exactly.
I can't afford to eat a Pink Taco. That's why I got asked the time. All the time I get asked at the Life Factory, they're like, oh, where do you recommend I eat? I said, I'm too poor to eat in this suburb.
Yeah.
I can't even do it. Ralph's.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Bristol Farms is right across the street. You
can't afford that. Walk in there. Expensive. No, I can afford the rotisserie chicken at Bristol Farms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I'm lashing out.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great story. I mean, I'm glad to see that you are not in your car, obviously, thank God.
Well, it's not possible now.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Well, it's gone now. It's gone now, I get it. But yeah, you have your apartment and all that stuff. And you got a great opportunity at the factory, which is awesome.
Well, yeah, it's a good networking opportunity.
Sure.
And other clubs are starting to realize the stuff I'm putting together now, too, which is...
And now you're producing shows in Houston still? I see that you go back there.
At the end of every 6 months, I go out to Houston and I fly a couple of comics from LA out and put on a really good show. I realize that producing your own show is the only way you can do long sets.
Yeah, for sure.
And I wanted to do a room... Obviously, I sold Guns and Champagne in Houston for 17 years. Mm-hmm. I mean... what better line of contacts can you have?
Yeah, you have a lot of contacts there.
Well, yeah, people ask what my demographic is in Houston, and it's over 35s with two kids who still do coke. I mean, it's a really good crowd.
Out Lake Havasu. Yeah,
that's my group.
Yeah, but, do a Dan Green show at Lake Havasu. Okay.
So going back there, it's fun. It's a really good bar. We've turned into a comedy club for a night. It's a fantastic space.
That's awesome. I've never been to Houston. I haven't been there.
I've taken some good people down there. I'm taking Mike Ishak and Johnny Mitchell down there at the end of this month.
Nice.
And we're going to cut it up down there. And next month I start producing shows in LA for the Australian community. So we're going to start putting on... I think we got Adam Ray and Kira Sultanovich and Sarah Lawrence on the first one.
Awesome. Where are these shows going to be?
They're going to be a place called Miss Melbourne Coffee down on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Miss Melbourne
holds about 80 people. We're going to put about 80 people in there.
Where is that? Hollywood?
West Hollywood.
Yeah. Is it actually a coffee shop?
It's actually a coffee shop.
Oh. So where
it's
is
Australian
that?
Coffee, and apparently we're better at it than you are. That's why.
That's what I hear. Flat White, right?
Yeah, Flat White.
I think everybody's better at coffee
and
than the U.S.
They got meat pies. I think everyone's better. Rolls,
oh, wow.
All that good shit.
Man,
I got to... Yeah, you know, the U.S. definitely has things going on for it, but I think coffee cuisine. I don't know.
You
can get that Aussie good down there. That's what it comes down to, man. All that good food and good stuff.
Now, does Australia, do they have a cuisine, really? Like, you know, like my friend just went there. And
I keep hearing sausage rolls.
Well, my friend went there for a trip, of like a month-long trip, and like, it was the first time I kind of thought of that. It's a beautiful country. They have tons of great stuff. And but there's like no real, like, you know, there's no Australian food. And I was like, oh yeah, you think about that. Like, we're always like, oh, we're going to go get Italian food. We're going to get Thai food. No one's ever like, let's go get some Australian food. What do you guys eat there?
What we do have is
kangaroo.
Kangaroo. Yeah.
No, we don't eat
koala.
We don't eat kangaroo. That's why. Okay, here's the thing with
I think they do. You do.
Let me explain.
I've heard
we didn't eat kangaroo for a long time because it's shit. We did. Now we got to kill 3 million of these things a year because they'll overrun the country.
There's too many of them.
They're
too
like
many
rats, right?
Well, they breed like fucking rabbits. They can carry. So cute, they can carry though. An embryo.
Little joeys in the pouch.
I think they're assholes.
Kids at once. They can do three kids at once. They're just continue. They're worse than rabbits.
Really?
So basically, the problem was we were using kangaroos basically for dog food.
Mm. Okay.
They went into dog food kangaroos back in the day.
Yeah.
And then we realized the Japanese considered kangaroos a delicacy. So now we have grass-fed Wagyu kangaroo selling those to the Japanese.
Wagyu kangaroo. Wagyu kangaroo?
Don't you have to like massage? I thought you had to like massage the
hug a kangaroo. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now you've tasted it? You've had kangaroo?
I've had kangaroo. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I'm not a fan.
One on his shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there it is.
If I had the choice, I wouldn't pick kangaroo to eat. Now, just like oxtail, we have kangaroo tail soup. That's fine.
I would try kangaroo.
I've heard it's really lean.
Can you get kangaroo at a local bar somewhere in Australia?
Banned
in California. Yep. Why is that? Do you know?
Because apparently...
Everything's banned in California now.
They're too cute.
you're close. Apparently, fucking some animal liberationist was like, Australians are murdering kangaroos. We got to stop this. And we're like, fuck off.
There's
20 million of them.
Yeah.
I said, there's more kangaroos than people almost.
I can't believe California banned kangaroos.
I love that. Yeah. There is somebody who's like, you know what I care about?
California's
not the
banning,
homeless.
No, they're banning everything.
the kangaroos in Australia. They banned the flavor vapes.
Now it's kangaroos.
Vapes and kangaroos.
What about koala bears? Do people eat those though?
No, you can't eat a koala.
No. They're too cute.
Are those the ones with gonorrhea?
Yeah, well,
they have gonorrhea.
Chlamydia will kill the kangaroo. But the problem is the koalas got decimated by a recent run of wildfires down there.
Uh-huh.
They don't do real well. They don't have a natural predator, kangaroo or koalas, other than feral cats and shit like that.
Are they violent koala bears?
They're a little angry. Yeah.
That's what I've
heard.
They're
kind of asshole-ish. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. This is the asshole bear.
Are all
Australian animals just dicks? I know kangaroos will fuck you up. And then apparently koalas are dicks. Like,
wasn't there that movie Kangaroo Jack or something like that?
That's proving Americans are dicks. That's okay.
What are your thoughts on Crocodile Dundee?
Man's national treasure.
Paul Hogan.
National treasure.
Absolutely.
They're right. Robert Downey Jr. was correct. That man is a national treasure.
He is.
Okay. Now, the first movie, yes. Second movie, yes. Third movie.
What was that? The one in L.A.?
The third movie was the L.A. And then there was a fourth.
Was there a fourth?
Wow.
Oh, nobody saw the fourth, thank
God. What was the
God.
Fourth one? I don't remember the fourth
one. It was an Australian one. It was horrible.
Didn't he recently just have a movie where he played himself?
There's a TV series about him in Australia, which I've got to look
at. Now, he was nominated for an Oscar for the first one. Right? As a writer or something?
He gave a pretty epic Oscars speech, which is at the Oscars. Paul Hogan's speech at the Oscars is one of those epic speeches at the Oscars. But no, I don't think he ever won an Oscar.
He didn't win an Oscar, but he was nominated for...
He used to be a comedian
He was nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
Oh, he was a comedian. He used to do sketch comedy. He had a thing called The Paul Hogan Show, which makes Benny Hill look like nothing. He was amazing. The Paul Hogan Show was shit that you cannot get away with now.
Paul Hogan was nominated for Best Original Screenplay Academy Award for Crocodile Dundee. Yeah.
And Rob, yeah. who the fuck Croc. Won it that year? It was some, probably some mamby-pamby bullshit movie.
That happens so much. We were talking about that before, like when Titanic won.
Probably got, probably got beat by Pulp Fiction
but it's
or something like that.
But it's amazing.
Pulp Fiction.
I feel like I have to rewatch the original. I mean, I've seen it, but it's been a while since I've seen the original Crocodile Dundee. But it's like, as a script, being nominated for an Oscar for the script, I'm like, that's pretty, that's a great accomplishment.
I've been in the bar
as a comedy,
the
as
movie.
A comedy, yeah.
Yeah, I've been in the bar at the beginning of the movie. The bar, the Walkabout Creek Hotel, where at the beginning of that movie,
yeah,
was not in a studio. They shot that shit in the middle of Australia, in the middle of nowhere. When you, I've had the pleasure of driving across Australia 5 times.
Okay,
and you drive through this place called Walkabout Creek, and the Walkabout Creek Hotel's right there,
really,
where they did it, and it's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Interesting.
This
yeah,
is 3 hours of nothing either side of that town.
Paul Hogan.
So who stays there?
Nobody.
Like, no one stays there.
Like
no.
You drive through these little tiny towns in the middle of nowhere.
But it's a, they have a hotel, though.
Well, a hotel's a bar. It's a pub.
Okay.
No. It's a pub. Okay. I mean, I don't think anybody's staying. I couldn't imagine. Well, we have, in Australia, we have pub accommodation. This is one thing you don't have in America. Pub accommodation is fantastic. When you go to a pub in Australia or a hotel, and the old school hotels in Australia, they'll be on the corner of a block.
Yeah.
And they'll have a second story, which is a big veranda upstairs. And upstairs, you'll find these little $20 a night rooms.
Yeah.
Where you get a single bed, bathroom down the hall, and you can crash there.
I stayed at a place like that in Amsterdam. Fantastic. over a couple months ago. Like it was like a club, and it was like they had hotel rooms in the back of it.
And it's not dirty. It's not seedy. It's
the U.S.
people.
Has those, but they're all like old mining towns.
Yeah,
old, like
yeah.
I mean, like Flagstaff, Arizona has right. those. You know, right. like
it's here like, it's like you know the rooms are you know $600 a night. You know, it's like
well, you've
got to
make them that. Otherwise, if you made them $20 a night out here, then it's like 5 junkies upstairs
well,
with
yeah,
a crash
exactly,
pad, and
yeah.
you're like shit.
It's a brothel all of a sudden.
Make it expensive to keep out the riffraff.
For sure, yeah. I think Crocodile Dundee will be rebooted at some point, right?
After the fourth
movie. I mean, it's a franchise. They're just rebooting every franchise now.
I think it has to be one of those things you can't reboot, doesn't it? I mean,
I think you should be in it.
I thought that until
that would be so good.
I think it should be you.
Yeah, Dan, come on.
But no, like, man, it's like you are like you know you're the real deal. You're stabbing people. And
there are some
crocodiles
things. That shouldn't be rebooted. I see they're rebooting Roadhouse, and I was like,
I saw that. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why?
But here, Dan Green, if they came to you tomorrow, like, hey, we want to reboot Crocodile Dundee with you, you're gonna say?
I would say no.
You'd say no.
I would say no.
Come on.
I would say no.
Bullshit.
I would say no. Well, if you
I
throw enough
stay
money,
I
want to
stay living in my apartment yeah, behind no, the no, Laugh Factory. Like, that's what I want.
I think anybody who
Dan, if they said Dan, here is we're going to give you $1 million to star in the Crocodile Dundee reboot.
I'll tell you who's going to do it. I'll call it right now. Who's going to do it? Who's tone deaf enough to do this shit and so far up his own ass? Chris Hemsworth will redo Crocodile Dundee.
I could
himself.
See that. Yeah, I could see that.
That is a guy sure. who, after watching him. He had that fucking show, Limitless, whatever. He just put out some documentary where he runs around and says, oh, I just like to push myself to the limit and I'm amazing. And this is what I do. I push myself every day.
But he's
dude, you've got so much fucking
famous.
Goddamn money.
He's
you're
too
bored.
Famous. The cool thing about Crocodile Dundee, like Paul Hogan, he wasn't famous really
he
here, at least when that movie came out. Right?
No,
that made him.
No,
you know.
No. Paul Hogan had a job.
Right.
He used to paint the Sydney Harbour Bridge. He was a painter on the Sydney
he was
Harbour
an every,
Bridge.
He was an everyday guy kind of
Yeah,
thing,
what they
right?
how they do, they paint the Sydney Harbour Bridge almost constantly. They start at one end and they paint the thing, and then when they get to the other end, they come back around and start again because it corrodes
That's
like
why
that.
I'm saying they need to reboot it with, you know, an average Joe kind of guy.
Well,
you
then
know?
You
Not a Chris Hemsworth.
Well, see, then you end up with Sam Worthington, who's a fucking bricklayer. And
no,
see,
it's gotta
so
be,
it doesn't work all the time.
It's got to be Darren
Green. Dan Green, yeah.
Dan Green.
That's my vote. That's my vote.
Crocodile Dundee.
Listen, mate, I think I'm in trouble.
You at least have to be the sidekick in it or something.
I think that's where I fit in. I fit in that Danny McBride kind of role in the, on the
side.
I went to a casting agent out here in LA, and he said to me, he took one look at me and said, you look like the guy that James Bond beats the shit out of before he gets to the last guy.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. And he goes, yeah. Don't fix this. And he points at my body. He goes, because then we've got to fix this. And I'm like, what are you fucking saying? He goes, it just looks like you've been punched in the face a lot. I said, yeah, I have.
Yeah,
he
you
goes,
have. Yeah.
We need guys who've been punched in the face.
That's true. Said, now, have you acted before? Have you thought about acting?
I'm working on getting into it, yeah.
You should, because, you know, you could definitely be that character guy. You got, you know, the look, the Australian dialect. I don't know. Like, movies are, like, definitely needing, like, that kind of, like, character actor, I think.
Well, I've seen people try and fake Australian accents, and it's annoying.
Yeah, they sound like a cross between a Brit and somebody from Georgia.
Everyone can do our accent, but, like, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like,
yeah, my American's pretty awful, though.
Let's do it.
Oh, I've got to get back in. It's more of a down home Texas kind of accent like that. One of them hayseed motherfuckers.
That's not bad.
From West Texas.
Yeah,
well, that's not bad. Yeah, if you put the southern like drawl Texan thing in there, that's not bad. Can you do like a New York version?
No, I can't. Here's the thing. This is why I've kept my accent for so long as well, because conversations like this, I usually go, fuck off. I'm not doing those accents at all.
Right.
Because I'm worried that if I start doing American accents and the wind changes, It'll stay that way.
It'll stick.
Just like a face when you're little.
Oh man!
Now the only one I can do really well, I can do Liam Neeson. I can do Northern Ireland without
Northern Ireland.
I was trying to teach an Australian American how to do Australian one night, and we were drunk in a bar and realized I could be a man with a very particular set of skills.
That's great. Yeah, that's really good.
An absolute nightmare for people like you. Yeah, you can have my daughter now, but I'm gonna come and get her.
That's great. Yeah, oh, that's pretty really good.
But
yeah.
Yeah, when you find out that
do you use that in your act at all?
Yeah. Well, I haven't figured out how to make it work yet.
You got to use a taken thing.
But when you figure out that you can do that accent at 4 o'clock in the morning, call everybody in your phone. And I'm like,
talk to them immediately?
Like, yeah, I'm just people picking up the phone.
I'm going to have you leave my voicemail message.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you want. And people are like, I've got caller ID. You're a fucking moron. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Stop calling me. I'm like, it's Liam Neeson. I can't stop.
Rachel, let's hear it. Can you do it? You're an Australian dialect?
I cannot do an Australian accent.
Let's try.
It's nasally. You got to go right up in there.
Try
some. It's
nasally. Come on, Sherry.
I know. I just feel like I'm going to be such an asshole because it's just be like.
Nicole Kidman AMC commercial.
Oh, God. She's so creepy. AMC. Like, I don't,
You gotta do the Bogan woman accent. Come on, Sharon, our love's for real.
I don't know. He's like, put some shrimp on the barbie. Like, that's
amazing. Yeah, I know. That's the American version. Good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
Like, I'm Crocodile Dundee. I can't see, do it.
Right? I know. Put me on the spot.
Get your fucking kids, Sharon. Get your kids now. That's how it works.
I think it's because I naturally have a bit of a southern accent, and so it's really hard for me to.
We'll have to have Dan teach us how to do the dialect. We'll take dialect lessons.
Well, it's really easy. I'll give you a lesson right now. I'll give you a really easy one. I'll give you the easiest one right now. You got to say these three words. Your accent, your natural dialect, not trying to sound Australian, okay? But it'll naturally reflect, it'll change over, okay? You got to say good, you got to say I as in your eye, and you got to say might as in you might get me on this again sometime. Now put all those together. Go good I might.
Good I might.
Good eye, mate.
Good eye, mate. Aye,
close. You're getting there.
Good eye, mate.
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 It's not bad.
Good eye, mate.
It's not bad. It's not horrible.
Good eye, mate.
We're just going to keep doing that.
Good eye, mate. I'm Crocodile Dundee.
Good eye, mate. Good eye.
Mick Dundee. Wasn't that his name? Mick Dundee.
Good eye, mate.
Good eye, mate.
Visit AMC.
Good eye, mate. Welcome back to the theater.
I went back to the theater for the first time the other day. For the first time, I went to that Top Gun movie, but the first time I have a theater across the street, and I've never been there, and I went in there and watched a movie. I watched John Wick kill everybody.
Yeah.
And Nicole Kidman showed up before.
Did you see the Nicole Kidman?
No, they didn't put the Nicole Kidman. I felt cheated, actually. I wanted to go back.
Maybe they're scaling back on it. They've gotten a lot of complaints.
It's kind of creepy. It's just creepy. I don't know.
Are you a fan? So all these, there's a lot of Australian actors that come here and obviously are very successful. Are you Nicole Kidman? Are you a big Nicole Kidman fan? Are you, what's the guy? Isn't Spider-Man Australian? Or one of them was? No,
he's a Brit.
He's Brit, sorry.
They kind of sound the same.
Who else is Australian?
Joel, I think Joel Edgerton is my... Joel Edgerton and Ben Mendelsohn. These are guys who turn up in these side roles that you never see. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that fucking...
Naomi Watts, she's Australian, right?
Yeah, but... Yeah, she's Australian. Yeah, she does some good stuff as well. Yeah. And we've got some good actors in there.
Heath Ledger, the infamous Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger was the man, mate.
Yeah.
I met him once, yeah.
I never did.
Yeah.
Never did back in those days, but But yeah, but I never, nor should I have. I wouldn't have been in the same damn circles back then. But
yeah. Is arm wrestling big in Australia?
It should be.
It's not.
It's not. It's not. It should be. I've been to an organized arm wrestling competition before. I used to go to lesbian arm wrestling on Sundays.
In
Houston, Texas.
Oh, in
awesome.
Texas.
It was awesome.
Lesbian arm wrestling.
My buddy owned a lesbian bar. And every Sundays they used to have lesbian arm wrestling. And we used to go up there and heckle and watch. And it was so much fun.
Oh, my God. That sounds awesome.
And you did have about 12 drinks. And then suddenly I'm like, you know what? I could turn one of these good-looking lesbians. I reckon I could do it. And you go over to the men's room. And the men's room didn't even have a door on it. That's how they didn't give a fuck. And I'm just sitting out there. Pissing ladies, look at this. Woohoo! Nothing. Not even a look.
You could do that in a straight bar.
They had the table, like the over-the-top table and everything like that. Really? They were ready to go. And I was like, you want to do this? I went, no, I'm going to get my ass kicked by a lesbian in this bar. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, my God.
Chick's big.
Yeah, I've always pictured
why? I'm wondering that too. Like, why do you think Australians should...
I didn't know. Well, speaking of Heath Ledger, I knew one of his assistants at the time, and like he was like really, and he was Australian, and he was really into arm wrestling.
Well, back in those days,
I just assumed this must be an Australian thing, because like I don't know anyone here that's like, hey, we're gonna go arm wrestle at like a bar.
Sounds like a rich guy way of overcomplicating a fight back in those days. Probably, I mean, back in those days, you just got into a fight and you went run, boom, punch on, and then Then they declare a winner, throw you both out of the bar, and you go to the bar next door and buy the guy you just fought a drink. That's how it usually worked back in those days.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was good. It was dignified back in those days. You get into a good old bar fight, pick a partner, and off you go. And that's how it worked.
Lots of fights going on.
They should put UFC in a bar. That would make it a lot more entertaining.
Fun, right?
If you actually started with the accoutrement of a bar and just been like, okay, you get three beer glasses, you get a couple of shot glasses and an ashtray, and off you go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Choose your weapon.
Choose your weapon. Yeah,
Thunderdome.
Exactly.
Two men in, a one man leave. Let's do it in a bar.
Dan, so are there any other asshole stories that you want to share on the podcast?
Oh, mate, I was a fully qualified asshole there for a while. Mm. I've ruined some people's nights. I've done some horrible things. I think I almost had a woman scratch my eyes out once.
Oh.
And she was real, real angry. And I found out where the pain threshold is for ladies. She was there with three girls. And I had to turn them away. One of them was hammered or something like that. And she was being real, real catty about it. She's a good-looking girl in the middle of summer in Houston. And she'd given me the business. She was telling me that, yeah, I'm going to dance on your grave when you die. You're going to have a heart attack and all this shit. She was really giving it to me. And as she walked away, she got about 20 feet away from me. And she was almost out of earshot. And I said to her, and I could tell her dress was a little bit tight on one side. And I was like, yeah, bet you that dress fit better last summer, didn't it?
Oh.
Did she turn around?
Her friend turned around first, and her friend's eyes were like overcoat buttons. And I was like, oh, shit. And she just started running back towards me like this. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm about to get fucking clawed to death by this chick. God. And the other girl, one of our waitresses, was standing next to me laughing the whole time. She goes, she's going home to burn that dress now. She goes, you're fucking savage. You just put her in therapy. And I'm like,
you know what? She's still there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those were the kind of things that you really get stuck into people.
Just running your mouth off, kind of. Yeah.
And I'd prefer to do it that way. I mean, I'd like, you know what? I'm not going to get drop to your level, but if you put me down there, rightio, I'm gonna have you look in the mirror for a while.
Well, I do think some sort of verbal assault is always like the way to get to people's, like, really, you know, I mean, violence is whatever, but you know, you say something that really irks someone, oh man, that'll stay with them for a long
time. Yeah, I love that. I'm living rent free in your head right now.
Exactly. Yeah, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Like I told this girl,
like that stab wound will heal, but like that fucking thing you said to me is like gonna live there probably for the rest of my life at some point.
Oh yeah, I burned this socialite in Houston once, and she was coming up and she was doing the same thing, just and realized she wasn't happening. She had two beat-looking girlfriends. And I mean, like, she's like a hoity-toity high society girl. And she's running around with just, looked like she'd picked up two hookers on the side of the road. I was like, this ain't happening. And she was stunned at that point. And she's walking away. And I said, hey, before you left me, she turned around. I said, here's a tip. Get better-looking friends.
Oh.
And she lost her fucking mind as well. And still doesn't talk to me to this day. And I'm like,
that's a thing. That's a thing. I think, like, women, maybe of that stature, that caliber, I don't know, they choose girls that are like,
they want to be the prettiest.
They want to be
the
pretty
group.
One, yeah. Right? Like they choose, absolutely. Like they don't want you. Like you're gonna be bigger than me. Right. You're gonna be less attractive than me because I'm gonna look.
Absolutely. Right. I turned away that. Five women from a club once because one woman looked like a complete train wreck, and I said, "None of you are getting in." They go, "What's wrong with us?" I said, "You four fucking catty bitches let this chick leave the house looking like that." So none of you are getting in. You're not getting in because you look like shit, and you're not getting in because you're fucking a shitty friend.
She's probably like the hottest one. They were just letting her leave. They were just letting her walk out like a hot mess because they were just
you look great.
Yeah, like you should dressed more eyeshadow, more, yeah, way right, more. Right.
Your skirts tucked into your underpants in the back and shit like that. Just classy.
It's hard to find a good opinion these days, you know, trustworthy friend that will.
But the one I get at Laugh Factory a lot, I get auditioned for on the concrete out there, which is, let me tell you a joke. No, please don't.
Like with people waiting for the open mic?
I can't,
like,
no, not even that. Just people walking by. It used to be worse when we used to put the open mic on the marquee, and I told them you can't do that anymore. Yeah. I said, because we end up with every nut that walks along Sunset, there are a bunch.
Yeah.
Are looking at that going, that's my shot. That's my shot out of the slums, off
what
the
was,
streets.
Yeah, what was yeah, interesting? No,
that's the thing. They come up and ask, and they go, how much money am I going to make if I get booked here as a comedian? I'm like, well, let me just shatter that dream.
I have to say that the Laugh, like out of all the big club open mics, like the Laugh Factory, like, I did that open mic a couple times back in the day, and it was like, that one was always the one that had like the most like homeless people or like people in costumes showing up or like
with,
crazy
like, weird,
fucking people.
Goofy. I love like the names.
You definitely have like crazy other people at the other mics, but like these were like the people that were like, oh no, I'm like,
they're just looking for like 2 hours off the street.
Yeah,
they're like, I'll tell it.
The Laugh Factory already gives away like free Thanksgiving dinners.
There was a guy named Harvey that used to run it.
Oh not, yeah, yeah, Harvey.
And
yeah.
Harvey ran it for 20 years and I kind of ambushed it and took it off Harvey after the pandemic. I'm like, I'm gonna bring this fucking thing back,
right?
And I got rid of all because he didn't turn anybody away, so clearly. But yeah, Harvey also had this fun thing for Harvey, it was fun, where he would put a microphone at his seat,
yes,
and just
I remember
interrupt
that.
Your set halfway through and go, yeah, well, you should do that. And you're like, what the
I fuck? Remember, yeah, where I remember if from? Like if someone ran the light, he'd be like, okay, or something like that. Like, that's all I remember. Like I was like the fucking like voice was always like in the back, like
okay.
Yeah.
So I went in there for and said, listen, me and Nick Hurley went in there and said we're gonna redo this. Uh-huh. And that was my first point was like with the new production people. I said, don't you fucking dare put this on the marquee.
Right, right.
I said we'll get comics back in here, and it took a year, but we've had some. Oh yeah, you're like yeah. If they don't pass the smell test at the front door, you're like, you know what, mate? Maybe it's not for you.
I think I remember like my fourth time doing it, and it was probably my last time doing that open mic. Like there was a guy dressed as the Grim Reaper, in front of me or something like that. And I was just like, all right, this is it. I'm done with this.
They just need to start. They need to stop calling these things open mics and call them auditions for what they actually are.
Right,
and
right.
Say, listen, don't turn up looking like that here.
Right.
I mean, the amount of times I've had people. I tell people who come to these things, they come every week and they bomb 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 and they bomb. And I tell them, I said, listen, you could get struck by comedy lightning at this point. Pryor could inhabit your soul on stage and no one is listening because you bomb so many fucking times.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Everybody's checking their email as soon as you walk up on stage. No one gives a fuck what's coming out of your mouth.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, okay then. But you'd get people that come up and go, do you think I should do this as a career? I'm thinking about it. I said, no, you should quit right now. Yeah. And they go, oh. And I'm like, well, you should definitely, if that's all the backbone you've got, fucking leave. If that's all it takes.
It always fascinated me because like you'd meet so many interesting people. Like I'd almost rather like bring this podcast there and just go down the line and like interview everyone. Because there were people that, like driving like, oh, I drove 3.5 hours to come to this.
What?
To hopefully get picked out of the fucking thing or whatever. You know, and it's like, and it's like, Jesus Christ.
Then they get up there and they've got nothing.
And they got nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, man. Do you have, like, what are you doing? Like, you have that time to fucking waste?
And they're the best ones. They're the ones who are like, I'm getting booked on the back of my first set ever. And you're like, no, you're fucking not.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's just not going to happen unless you're T.I.
Or the people that bring, the people that bring
unless you're T.I. Yeah, T.I.
Yeah, exactly. The people that bring chairs and coolers up there and
sit out there from noon and you're like, you don't have to do this, dude. You can just get there a little early. You'll be fine.
Right, you'll be fine. Yeah, yeah. People sleep it over. Yeah.
Like I got a guy the other week. It was like, you don't take me seriously as a comic. I said, absolutely I don't. I said, you're out there at noon.
Yeah.
Why the fuck should I take you seriously at 11 o'clock at night? I'm like, no, not at all.
Exactly.
Oh, but I want it. I'm like, you've established that. Yeah.
Well, clearly, because you have nothing else going on all day that you can be here at 11 a.m.
There's like, I mean, you want to sit on the sidewalk or do you want to go like actually grind and go go work and get better? Like sitting on the sidewalk waiting, it's not going to make you a better comic.
There's so many other things you could be doing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the same guy who thinks he has a miracle personality and doesn't need to write a joke and he can just, I can just expand my thoughts on stage. And I'm like, yeah, you can try.
Right.
That's not going to work, but yeah.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up here. But Dan, these are some great, interesting asshole moments, I'd say. Bar stories.
I'm not done being an asshole.
I'm just
winding up. I'm 47. I'm 47, mate.
I feel like you have a leg up because you're Australian.
Oh. You do, yeah. So. Sounds like you have some pretty adventurous stories.
I'm looking forward to getting curmudgeonly in my 50s, mate. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, we definitely have to have you on a live show where you can flush out your asshole story for a true crowd that will appreciate it. We'll have you on that upcoming soon.
That'd be great.
Yeah, for sure. If there were three words that you could tell your younger self, what would those be?
Ooh. Don't marry her.
Don't marry her. Don't marry her. Okay.
So marry him.
So are you divorced? Are you married?
Oh, yeah. I married a woman I met on a Monday night in a bar.
Oh, all right. How long were you guys married?
About 3 years.
3 years. Okay. All right. Don't marry her. Yeah, that'll fuck up your world for a while, right?
It did for about a decade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one took a bit of, that one was a bit of head scratching involved until I was like, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
No, that's a whole fun experience. That's a whole level of asshole shit there.
Yeah,
but it got me a green card, so yeah.
Hey, you know what? America. You got something out of it.
There you go. All right.
I got some consolation prizes out of it all, so yeah.
Exactly. Things that are worthwhile, long-lasting. Yeah, all right, perfect. All right. Don't marry her. I like that one. All right. Well, we do have our live show, I'm a Basshole, is going to be... Tuesday this week, today actually. Well, I know we're recording this Sunday, but we're going to release this on Tuesday. So today, April 18th at the Hollywood Improv, 7:30 p.m. Go to bassholeshow.com to get tickets. We got a great show. We got Tom Arnold on it. Rachel D will be there. Rob will be there. He's not on this show, obviously, for all the Rob fans. So sorry.
All the haters. The hate watchers.
I was going to call Rob during this episode because he was an asshole this week. But I'll just say, yeah, he borrowed one of the microphones for the podcast. And I was like, give me my microphone back. Because I need to do a podcast. And then he left it at CJ's house and never brought it back. And I was like, come on, man. We didn't even cover it.
I'm an Astros fan in LA as well, which makes me a super asshole.
Oh, because they're the cheaters, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm wearing an Astros hat around most days in LA. Yeah, so yeah.
People will come up to you and give you your
I only got
of
told
mind.
To get fucked. 6 times last week. It's fine. You're getting soft, LA. Bring it. Those are rookie numbers.
Oh, yeah. It's all good. I wear a Giants hat all the time. Oh, so we should walk around together and see what happens.
Maybe you guys will get stabbed. Maybe you'll get stabbed again. You know, I don't know. Don't go to Dodger Stadium.
With a camera. I think that might be entertaining.
Dodger Stadium is where the stabbings happen. So
it's time to get shot. We're leveling up.
Yeah, there you go. All right, make sure you follow Dan Green at Dan Green Comedy. Follow Rachel D at Rachel D Comedy. Make sure you follow the podcast at Basshole Show, the YouTube channel, all that good stuff. Dan, do you have anything to promote that's coming up?
Yeah, check out The Verbal Gym on Spotify and Apple iTunes. And I have a little thing on Facebook called Are You My Veggie Mate, where I poison... LA Comics with Vegemite for the first time. And that's
what is Vegemite?
Vegemite is our national food. That's our cuisine
The cuisine. Yeah.
Well, it's.
I've never had it either. I've seen it. It looks terrifying.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's an acquired taste.
My next episode comes out tomorrow. We combined it with cannabis butter, and I had veggie weed.
Does it go down better if you?
Well, I ended up super high because I did 80 milligrams of it, and 80 milligrams of cannabis butter with Vegemite.
All right, we'll get you high. I got to check that out. I feel like there's so much more we have to talk to Dan about, so we'll definitely have you back. We're just scratching the surface.
We got to see Dan on the live show.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Rachel, anything you want to promote that's coming up?
I'm going to be at the Hollywood Comedy next Saturday, and then I'm hosting Well Dressed at the Roosevelt on the 28th. So that's going to be a really fun show. Comics are forced to dress up and look nice.
Oh, man.
It makes us all very uncomfortable.
I don't think I even have anything to wear to go to that show. All right. Well, make sure you guys go check out those shows and the Dan's podcast and all that stuff. And come to the Bass Hole Live show today, Tuesday, April 18th. We'll see you there. And we have some exciting announcements coming up in the next week or so that we will make sure we get all that information to you guys. Guys, keep subscribing, keep listening. Tell your friends if you want to, subscribe. And if you think you're an asshole, you have an asshole story, email us. You know, we like to hear from regular people too. Dan, thanks so much for being on the show today. I know it was early. We got everyone up today. Rachel, thanks for coming out.
It's been a pleasure, Mike.
Yeah, of course. All right, guys. Remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. Bye.
You've been listening to I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass. Follow us on Instagram at Basshole Show. Think you deserve to be on the show? Email us at contact@bassholeshow.com and visit our website at www.bassholeshow.com and get the latest information. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast fix, and don't miss the full videos on YouTube. Remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. We'll see you next time.